the blessings of love
and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting in all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint in religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity, in this way I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. So what should we look at this morning?
I've been looking at vibrancy.
Vibrancy.
And at least so far what's kind of occurred is the approach is not that I need to create vibrancy, because that's what we are, mm-hmm. but kind of the Rumi poem of not to seek for love, but to seek for the barriers that we've created between ourselves and love. And I think the point of that is, you know, when you see them from awareness, those barriers dissolve. And I think that not seeking for love is because you get to see, well, we are that. That's what we are.
So just looking at vibrancy, and that what comes to mind is that Rumi poem, don't seek for love, but now you're gonna have to repeat the poem.
Well, I don't know if I said it correctly, but to seek, you know, to bring awareness is how I would interpret it.
Yes.
To the barriers that we've created between ourselves and love.
Yes. Yeah. And I think so you're seeing the parallels to that with vibrancy, because as you said, it's not that I have to seek or look for vibrancy, but it is authentically who I am.
Yeah. So we had an encouragement recently to bring, this is my interpretation, another level of vibrancy to the monastery, to how we live, to the grounds, to everything we do here. And it's like, gosh, you know, just, you can feel the life resonating with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a yes, I know that place. And then there's kind of like a, what? What is that? What is the barriers in between? What is that?
Yeah.
Not in a, I gotta stop that or gotta figure that out, but just like, what? You know what? More of I want to see that, because I know what's possible, and it seems like the path is just to see that and see through it, and live in that vibrancy.
Yeah. So just recognizing vibrancy, just really feeling it, you know, going to that place, knowing that, and just looking at what are the barriers, you know. Inquiring, you know, just looking, not in a self-hating way, but what is it that stands between being what is obviously right there?
Yeah, when you're reflecting that back, it's just good to see that I know that process of seeing what conditioning is doing, or seeing that barrier without it being a self-hating process or being an analyzing. Because I think I often get talked out of looking at something because, well, you're analyzing it.
Uh-huh.
You're trying to figure it out, and what you need to do is get out of the conversation. You know, it's like, don't look here. You know.
So there's a lot of input.
In how to
see that and how to look at it.
So just, oh, right, I know that place. and it's not a conversation. Uh-huh. It's an awareness.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a couple of things that I saw, well, I just had the opportunity to be off property and then come back, and just any transition is such an opportunity to see. And it seemed like, what I was aware of, like the first 24 hours I was back, there seemed to be a bit of like a grace. Like, there was an awareness that I wasn't totally here. Like, I noticed that the attention was quite distracted, mm-hmm. and to a place of I wasn't even aware of what I was distracted by, more of just, I don't know what the last 30 words out of that person's mouth were.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And just like, okay, you know, just a registering of that.
Uh-huh.
But not a, there wasn't input about it. There, uh-huh. there was a, just an awareness of what was going on in terms of attention and awareness, uh-huh. and maybe the awareness being slightly collapsed, but there was just there was no judgment, there was no commentary,
uh-huh.
just an acceptance.
Uh-huh.
And wow, what a place of freedom that was.
Wow, wow. So there's just the, an awareness of the distraction that was going on. But no, there was no conversation about it. There was no judgment about it. And just really feeling the freedom in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just concretely, I was in a group with the monks and the guide and Ashwini, and watching that go on. And then when I was aware of that and I could come back here, there was just like a thank you.
Uh-huh.
And there was just a willingness and a wanting to participate. I didn't have to waste any time of like, basically, what's the matter with you for going
uh-huh,
unconscious?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Just a thank you for for the awareness and this willingness to participate.
Yeah, yeah. And then I got to watch that grace kind of end. And the triggers were, like, basically I was being assisted by other monks. Like, there was some unconsciousness, and I was, basically I didn't use up all the food in something, was going to wash it without using up all the food, and someone was taking care of that. And another one was just a reminder to do something that I hadn't done. And all of a sudden, I could just feel like the identification with ego.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm in a place where people are watching me.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
there was this defensiveness.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then there was what happens a lot here, I think, under the guise of practicing, a monitoring.
Yeah.
You know, basically, are you present?
Yeah.
Are you here? Yeah. Are you doing?
Why not?
Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're not when that's going on, but you know, again, just how it can plug in anything practice related into a system I'm very familiar with, which is being monitored and having to look to it to see if I'm doing okay.
Wow. Wow.
But it was so cool to watch it that move.
Yeah.
Because when I was in that more freedom place, it was like something's different than how I often feel here. Living at the monastery.
Yeah. Wow. So, like you said, just a lot to see in that.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that experience of that place of freedom where there's just an awareness of the distraction, but no conversation about it. And then, like you said, feeling like maybe that period of grace ended and there was this constant monitoring that you were aware of and feeling the difference in those two places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just so important. It's what we're doing a lot, which is, what is a life process and what is an ego process, and getting clear about those things,
mm-hmm.
and then choosing, training to be in that life process.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple from that place.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, this wants to make it really complicated and you know, basically if you're the right person then, but it's not, it's not personal in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have that inquiry,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can be working from that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So just, having that opportunity to be really clear with what's the choice of the heart, to go to that place of freedom or to go to that place of constant monitoring, as you were just talking about that, you know, I could feel the tension in that, but just constantly.
Yeah.
In that place of, I choose that place of freedom.
Yeah. I'm just aware in my process right now, there was 3 points I wanted to make, and that was only one. So, just that it's okay not to make all the points. but just another piece was just really bringing presence to it all. So I was just curious about what is it about what's getting between Scott mm-hmm. and this vibrancy. And so I did a two-handed recording, mm-hmm. and I actually followed the directions.
So many times that's been mentioned in the group, actually yeah. following the directions, yeah. and what an aha.
Yeah. So, you know, recordingandlistening.org, uh-huh. all store resources, the power tool. Uh-huh. And it's just, because of course he goes like, well, I know how to do it two-handed. I do it every day, you know.
So you went to the website, mm-hmm. recordingandlistening.org, and you looked up two-handed recording.
Yeah, under the power tool.
Under the power tool, and actually follow the directions yeah. that you found on that website.
Different experience.
Mm-hmm. A different experience than...
Going through the motions, I think, is what happens. Uh-huh. Right hand, left hand, yeah, okay, here's somebody coming in.
I know how to do this.
Yeah. I mean, that's maybe not fair to describe it that way, but there's just another level mm-hmm. of being here with it.
Yeah.
And especially in the listening. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like glossing over, oh yeah, I know that. I just said it, I know that. Mm-hmm. There was somebody actually listening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was just this place of, well, I was kind of uncomfortable to feel good.
Wow.
And it was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Because I realized I'd listened to a story of, well, we went through that already. Uh-huh. But of course, you know, yeah, there's still that going on. But it's I think it happens a lot where we already know that there's a discomfort with feeling good. We've been, you know, it's a big sign on the path. We already know that. Don't look here.
Yeah.
You know, and but just the process of I could feel that. Like it feels uncomfortable to feel good.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I want to be with that person.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know.
Wow.
Like, what? Tell me more, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, so, anyway, there was all kinds of things that came out of that, and all kinds of assumptions that were made, all kinds of barriers that I kind of knew, but hadn't really listened to.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, what kind of occurred, a couple of things. One, to make a recording about vibrancy, mm-hmm. my experience of that, because, again, we know that place.
Yeah.
And just to listen to that every single morning on my way up to the day.
Wow.
And then also, I hadn't done this yet, but this is the next part, is to make at least some recording about a little bit about those bamboozles or that. Mm-hmm. Because again, it feels like me. You know, that, because I think what happens is there's a little bit of agitation in the feeling good. Uh-huh. And that's, without question, that's the trigger to go to some energy management kind of things,
uh-huh.
which
uh-huh.
is for, uh-huh. you know, all those, like, oh, I'm just not going to communicate, so I have a reason to feel bad.
Yeah.
This kind of seems like what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't get said to me that way, but
wow.
It's like, oh, you guys are a little out of equilibrium, let's get back into... But just to kind of say that, not in a I know, but just this is what we're seeing so far, and when that happens, you can just put on that recording about vibrancy.
Wow. So just really, I mean, what you just described is going to a tool that you've used frequently, but coming there with this new vibrancy,
yeah.
you know, what you're describing is just taking it from the beginning, you mm-hmm. know, just like you've never experienced or explored this before.
Yeah.
And just,
yes.
Yes.
It's so fun. It's so amazing. It's a whole other world.
Yeah.
And it's fun because the process is the outcome. I was just saying as we're talking, like, uh-huh. you know, putting that into place, listening every morning, listening to every time that conversation starts out about whatever, yeah. is a great plan, and I'm already in vibrancy.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing is
wow.
about love
yes.
and vibrancy. The
yes.
whole process is
yeah.
talking about it right now, I can
yeah.
feel the vibrancy.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's not like I'm doing that and then I'll feel
right.
vibrancy. It's already occurring.
Yeah.
You know, just like we know that when we make that recording about vibrancy, there we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
We're right there. There's the dew on
yeah.
the blade of grass. There's
yeah.
the
yeah.
you know the shrub and the
yeah.
little sharp little you know everything the everything's just vibrant.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then I get to own that projection.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah
so good to see that
yeah.
it's not path to fixing anything.
Yeah.
It's
the bamboozle.
Yeah. That's another big bamboozle that you already, when you're in the process, mm-hmm. that's the outcome.
Yeah, and it takes off the pressure.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I heard he did it. It's not something I'll achieve
yes.
later, or I gotta really work hard or really do this. It's like, oh, I can do this. I just did it.
Yes.
I'm doing it right now. Oh, I could probably do this the rest of my life.
I have vibrancy and it right now.
Yeah.
And there's that recording of this wonderful
reminding.
Tool to just pick it up and and be in that process.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you.
on the seeking the barriers that have been built against love, it seems to be really up at the moment for me to encounter and transcend the difference between ego clinging and love. So the barriers that have been built against love that ego is calling love. So ego is calling the barriers love, and I get confused that that's love, but it's actually a barrier.
A barrier to love.
And I'll give you an example of that kind of
great.
Obscure. Because I can feel this experience going on now. There's been clarity, or an experience of clarity, what feels like clarity, and I can feel the system trying to get me off kilter in all sorts of ways to close it all over.
So let's just, yeah, there's that clarity, but the system is just trying to shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So an example is looking at my relationship with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm noticing, and I've been aware of for some time, is that for many years now, the voices have been torturing me about her dying. So, creating worry, fear of loss,
mm-hmm.
all sorts of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been awareness at some level that that is not love, that that's a process of torture and making something all about me. And at some level, there's been an awareness of that, but somehow still going along with it. And it feels like there's a place now of an opportunity to not indulge any torture and choose love. Because part of what I see about it is that there was a quote on one of the morning radio shows this week, Seeing Through the Eyes of Love, about how self-will makes the world very, very, very small. And it can be given the name of love, but it's just making a tiny, tiny closed world.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, what I see is, when ego sets a person, a thing up as special, what that process has to do is make everything else and everyone else less
mm-hmm.
than.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like, just particularly in the last couple of weeks, there's been a seeing that ego lens
mm-hmm.
of making things less than and how that works.
Mm-hmm.
So I was seeing how it attempts to put me in this position of less than. And I was seeing that part of that is that, like, if I go along with that, what I'm going along with is it continuing to make other people less than.
Uh-huh.
So that feels like the motivation not to indulge any self-hate, right? And then with this example, not just to get a sense of the lens and what it's doing, and how even though that's being called love, it's a barrier against love. So that's what the closing over is trying to close over at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just let me see. Let me make sure that I'm with you. So you've been gaining some clarity on the how ego sets up this barrier to love, mm-hmm. in this lens, mm-hmm. that it has you looking through, mm-hmm. that this is love, but it's not, you're seeing it's not actually love. You're mm-hmm. seeing that, and like in this situation of self-hate, when with that feeling of you being less than,
yeah.
that demands that you look at others too as mm-hmm. less than, mm-hmm. and that there's this choice not to mm-hmm. not to indulge that. Not to indulge that at all. And that in the case of your grandmother, you can see this constant setup to worry about her, to worry about her death, is absolutely not love. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not love. And you're seeing there's another place to be with this. I don't know if you mentioned it, but you know, the unconditional love that just the difference between this kind of conditioned mm-hmm. love and the mm-hmm. unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's dropping in is something, I don't know if it was the Buddha, maybe, who said, you know, we only lose what we cling to.
We only lose what we cling to.
So a chance to get clear on the difference between ego clinging
uh-huh.
and mm-hmm. love, and it feels like the unconditional love is that place of no attachment to outcomes or wanting life to be a certain way, mm-hmm. but the unconditional of yes and thank you and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thy will be done. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. thank you and thy will be done. Just that unconditional place instead of clinging to outcomes. Like, yeah, this, I have to, you know, I have to have this love. It has to look like this, and it has to come from this person, this certain person. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And just how that makes the, like, that loss of perspective, you know, where everything is small and fearful and tiny. And
yeah. Yeah.
And, you know.
I don't know, as you say that, there's a similar quality to what was just spoken to, that constant, that monitoring,
mm-hmm.
where everything just becomes very, under scrutiny and, you know, as you say, real tall, real small, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. compressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like I can feel this feeling of, like, so there's a clarity, a choosing to be here, and then there's something that I see that there's a reaction to it of, I don't want that, I'm not ready for that, I don't want to choose it, like mm-hmm. that ego mm-hmm. Putting the brakes on.
Mm-hmm.
Just remembering, I think it's somewhere in Trying to Be Human, that, you know, the ego is never going to be ready for any experience we have in spiritual practice, so mm-hmm. waiting for ego to be ready is just a colossal waste of time.
Wow.
And just using that as a clue that, you know, that's ego, to call it out.
Yeah.
That shrinking uh-huh. back from an awareness, and to just keep choosing it.
Mm-hmm. And there's the hero's journey. You know, they just keep choosing it and choosing it and choosing it, and then when, you know, it seems so very real,
right?
That pull to no, I'm not ready for that.
It's like a prayer of life. Show me, you know, help me to see this, and also help me not to pretend that I haven't seen it when I see it.
Help me to not pretend that I haven't seen it
when I've seen it.
When I've seen it.
Yeah, because the only person I'm fooling is
truly.
Yeah. It's like that working out our own salvation dinner. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I know I've seen it, I can't pretend.
And just as you say that, the tension again that sets up inside, no, I haven't seen that, you know, I'm not, but it has been seen.
That's ego. Thank you.
Cameron.
This has been lovely so far. The talk about the word vibrancy. I've been doing a practice this week. Had an assignment to pick a card out of the mm-hmm. what universe are you creating, and then to record about it and then spend a day and listen to it and kind of see what evolves. And I think it was yesterday I got the word awe, A-W-E.
Awe, yes.
Yeah. And so what I've been doing is to just kind of sit with it for a minute and then do the recording. Uh-huh. And then read what the book has to say about the word, and then practice with it, and then listen and maybe do some more recording of what has changed with that process. And so at first, you know, I thought, I know what that word means, but when I was trying to describe it, I realized it's not a word that you see that often. It's not a word that I use that often. And so I was kind of, you know, trying to describe it. And then when I went to read in the book, there was one word that, and I thought, this is kind of like the kindergarten version of awe, but that's okay, I'm going to, you know, build on it. And when I read in the book, there was the word reverence that was associated with it. And I thought, ah, that's what it was kind of missing. It was the wonder and the kind of surprise of it or something. But the reverence that it brings, when you have that experience. And then when I drove down the hill into the property today, I got out of the car and I looked at the garden. Ooh. this is all. This is it. I'm feeling that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was just so breathtaking, mm-hmm. you know, the sun and looking at it through that beautiful garden gate, mm-hmm. and sun mm-hmm. on it, and the beautiful green of this new fresh grass that's mm-hmm. everywhere. And it was just touched my heart, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a word that is associated with an experience. Uh-huh. And same as what I was getting when this discussion about vibrancy.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So just having the experience of awe this morning and looking in the garden. And you also mentioned that quality of reverence. It sounds like I project that was also contained in that that awe this morning.
There's something deeply spiritual and like a connection uh-huh. with something divine uh-huh. in that experience of just the, I don't know, you know, words sort of fail the experience, and yet sometimes the words, having a word focused on kind of gives you a portal to mm-hmm. looking in the direction of mm-hmm. the experience, mm-hmm. and then you have the experience, and it's like, oh, the words fail again.
That's a really good point. It may be hard to put into words, but the word might point the direction, and then there's the experience, and then again there's that, well, I can't really put that into words again, but there was that knowing or that recognition of what the word was pointing to.
The word kind of has more associated with the head, and the experience is mm-hmm. in the heart. Mm-hmm. So it's in the, everywhere else, as far as I could tell, mm-hmm. it's kind of a full experience.
And you were mentioning vibrancy, that you're having that same kind of experience with the word vibrancy.
Well, I was just thinking that the it's what triggered me to talk about I hadn't thought to talk about this, but it sounded similar that mm-hmm. there was something mm-hmm. with the word mm-hmm. that was creating an avenue to have an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really that particular book with the cards mm-hmm. is that's what that does.
That wonderful practice tool.
Yes.
What universe are you creating? And just pulling that card and having it point to it in a direction, and then it's, you know.
Yeah.
And then have the actual experience of what's being pointed to.
Right, and having it create a motivation to attend to that particular experience.
Yeah.
And then have it.
What a gift.
What a gift, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ashwin.
So, I always love group because it is such an example of the process as the outcome.
Yes.
That sitting in it brings all of those pieces of what you might be looking at together.
Mm-hmm.
So, the thing that I want to report today is feeling a sense of low energy. And then hearing about vibrancy,
so perfect.
Reverence, and then the lens and the barrier, right? And so having that, being in that conversation, this conversation, and watching the attention in the process of looking at, oh, well, low energy, you're so low energy, that there's a barrier imminent. Where is your high energy? And so I just was watching this process of feeling low, and the barrier to the state that I want to be in is the conversation of the state I am in.
It is the conversation of the state.
It reinforces it.
It's okay.
Like, well, why are you in a low energy state? Where is your vibrancy? Or why does vibrancy have to be high energy? Why can't it be peaceful?
Really?
Right?
Yes.
Or whatever it is that's going on that's reinforcing the state by saying the state is what you should not be in. And so, as I've been sitting here trying to keep the custody of the eyes, there are two experiences that I'm having. Both my peripheral vision, I actually have a window vision to the bamboo in a patch of sunlight. And that exquisite light, I can project the warmth and the light, the sunlight dancing on those vibrant green leaves, and looking at the world out there as such a world of color and beauty and whatever. I'm not feeling that is the conversation. I'm not feeling that.
Yeah.
And then looking right there, right, there's a window outside of which it's sunshine and trees and beautiful green. And what that said is, it's the window that's between me and that, and the window is that conversation.
Conversation, wow. Yeah.
And I have to say, it was incredible. As soon as that dropped in, throughout the first 25 minutes of whatever this conversation is, I'm looking, that is the separation.
Yes.
That is the barrier.
Yes, yes.
And all of the tools that we're talking about, including talking about it, is the way to get from outside the barrier into life. And then I have that experience.
I love that. Using the tools and talking about, you know, what's going on is one of the tools. And then to see, just to see that the conversation has been the barrier.
Right.
And this beautiful group this morning, and, you know, having that, everyone join together and helping to bring that awareness that, oh my gosh, there is the vibrancy.
Well, and it's just such a practical, because, oh, I wish I could get to that vibrancy. Why am I not feeling that vibrant? Or where's the awe? What's missing? And watching that, I am having the experience right in my peripheral vision, but I can't, and then saying, oh, why can't I access that?
Yeah.
And then recognize that, why can't I access that, is the reason I'm not in it.
Wow.
And then for the barrier, and I can watch the whoosh of the energy flow back into the system, and there is no low energy here, because I'm not in the conversation of why am I not having the experience of the bamboo with the sunlight. Right, and then you can see the yellow of the flowers, and then the beauty of the meditation hall, and now the lens is not the conversation of the inferiority of my experience.
Wow, that lens just got polished.
It's what we've been talking about, that as long as we let the awareness be collapsed, we're not allowing for the life. In other words, somehow as the attention shifts, there is a process by which life tends to come into our vision. And if we let it, it will actually be the wear away the conversation that is the barrier to it, the recognition of itself.
Yeah.
And if we allow that process, it actually happens.
Yeah, wow. I love that word, allow.
Yes.
If we just allow that process, again, it's not that striving, that trying to fix, that, you know, there's life, and we just allow in it, there it is, you know.
Which is the letting go of the lens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see that happen to me in group, that process we were talking about, clinging to the state of low energy, by the conversation of why am I in it? And then saying, well, I want to be vibrant, but I'm not. Or I want to be reverent, but I'm not. Oh, and look at that. And then letting go of that. There was I don't know, that's great, I suppose. That it got worn away because there was an allowing for something, for that awareness to just drop it.
Yes. Yes. Just
and that makes it magical. Like, I wasn't doing that. Right? I wasn't doing that.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Wow, there's life again.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that, you know. There's just that, you know, I might say that stuckness of, why can't I feel that vibrancy? And then just, you know, allowing life, or it wasn't even an act of allowing, as you say.
That's
just,
right.
You know,
yes.
This magic.
That's the miracle of, it seems to me, spiritual practice. It's what makes me religious.
Yes, yes. Would you say that's one of the gifts of just showing up, just, you know?
Yes, I would. And when you say that, of course, it's just so beautiful, because what it brings me to is there's an energy in this building.
Mm-hmm.
There's an energy in this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
There is the energy of the sunlight on the bamboo that's operating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm even aware of it a little bit, it's operating in me.
Yeah.
It's the same energy that wants that union. And so the shift in attention to that, regardless of my experience, is what brings that reverence to the possibility of transformation.
Reverence to the possibility of transformation. Yes.
Because it is beyond me.
It is beyond that little me. Yes, yes, yes. And there it is.
There
continually,
is.
Without fail.
Without fail.
Yes.
Never fail.
Yes, yes. They are surrounding us, infusing us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, showing up in all, as you say, all different forms. The group this morning.
Yes. It's the image of the chick, the little chick pecking at the hen. Right. That life is always calling. There's the sunlight on the mountain.
Yeah,
there's the yellow flash of flowers. There's the window with the trees. Right.
Yeah.
Here's a group of people talking about vibrancy.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Here. There.
Knock, knock, knock.
And then finally we break through it. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, don't you just love that incessant knocking?
Yes.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Thank you.
That was helpful. Oh, I'm so grateful. So
I'm so grateful.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, it takes a while. But I was seeing that that thing of this is not it, that belief this is not it, is what makes it so.
So,
when we were talking about vibrancy, I was thinking, I was watching this battle, because I'm practicing that unconditional love thing. So I was watching myself.
Now, wait a minute.
Okay, so here's what I was watching.
Okay.
For a moment, there'd be unconditional love and just the relaxation into it. And then in the next minute, it's like, but I hate this one thing. And then be like, oh. And so what ego told me was, I hate this one thing is karma. But I think it's that the judgment on the hating that's the problem.
The judgment on the hating.
So it could just be that energy comes and goes, that there's the unconditional love. And then there's the, oh, I wish things were different. Mm-hmm. And then, but what gets it stuck is, oh, that is not it.
Yeah.
That hating and that frustration and that anger, that is not good practice.
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm. That isn't vibrancy for sure.
Yeah. And but, that is not love. That is not. Yeah.
And it's not that it is or isn't. Mm-hmm. It seems like that the thing is that the judgment, the trying to identify what is unconditional love or vibrant or so the best way I can think about it is I have three kids. They're all very different. I project different things onto them. Ego does. Mm-hmm. So my 9-year-old, oh, definitely, ego would say she's vibrant. Mm-hmm. My 13-year-old ego would say, well, he's joyful and peaceful, and I guess that could be vibrant. My 17-year-old would say, she's a little academic and heady and quiet. So ego would not label that as
vibrant.
But she is vibrant. Uh-huh. The problem is ego's label.
Yes.
We can all vibrate or be vibrant in different ways, but ego doesn't know that. Now, of course, they're all projections of me, right? So when I am frustrated or heady or academic or quiet, ego tells me that means something. Uh-huh. Oh, maybe you're a little depressed. Uh-huh. You know, you must be identified. Uh-huh. And so I never doubt it. I mean, not that I never do, of course, because I'm talking about it now. But the problem is not those states of being. The problem is that ego labels them and makes them not the right way. That's the barrier.
Yes.
Not the state. You know, it goes back to the, this is it. It's all it.
Yes.
Ego doesn't think it's all it.
Yes.
Ego thinks vibrant looks a certain way and unconditional love looks a certain way. And ego will label that as karma and conditioning.
Yeah.
But maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just what's happening.
Yeah.
And if we can just be with what's happening,
if we can just be with what's happening without that incessant conversation.
The incessant, and for me, the incessant conversation is always, this is not it.
This is not it. Yeah.
Yeah. Even about when I'm saying this is not it. So when I'm frustrated, like, this is not it, immediately ego comes in and says, this isn't it either. Saying this is not it is not it.
Well,
it keeps doing the thing.
Yeah.
You've got to hold it in place. Mm-hmm. What if it was like, I don't like this. This is not it. Oh, that felt good. Going to the next moment. Yeah. Well, wash the dishes.
Yeah.
You know, but ego traps it and starts telling me it means something about me and my spiritual wellness or whatever. So it's just so helpful to see. For me, at least, what I saw is that the block is not what's happening in the moment.
Yeah.
It's not the energy.
Yeah.
Low energy, this kind of energy, that kind of energy.
Yeah.
Could just, you know, but
the block is not what's happening in the moment.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not. No, you know, it's what somebody said. I don't know who said it earlier, but there is kind of a, I mean, ego does not like me thinking that way. Put it that way. You know, it's like, oh, give me a break. Come on. You know, the block, if you really had this, you would feel better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the block.
Yeah.
You know,
ego's not the block.
Ego's not the block.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't like that.
But seeing this, but just really recognizing this morning in group, like, ah. Just really seeing very clearly.
And go ahead, tell me what I'm seeing.
That in the moment, whatever is going on is okay without that conversation, without that being told it's you that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. It's
or the state is the problem.
Or the state that's the problem. Or what's going on is not it.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta pay attention to that because I know that happens to me a lot. Mm-hmm. That pseudo Zen. You know, it just comes in and it projects itself onto what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's karma.
Yeah.
You know, when you feel that way,
yeah,
that's evidence that you're identified.
Yeah, it knows.
knows all.
It's not evidence I'm identified, but until it makes it evidence, right? That thing yeah. that says yeah. stuff about it.
Yeah, commentary on all
the
of
commentary.
It.
Commentary. Yeah. Oh, so, I mean, you know, I'm just, I can just feel that razor's edge, yeah. you know, just that, okay, just let that go.
Say a little more about that. Well, razor's edge.
The razor's edge is ego wants to take what I've seen and uh-huh. start noodling it.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And oh, we got to hold on to this insight. So.
Yeah. This is it. This is
this is it. Yeah. You know, not just walking, you know. But what was pointed at, someone said a minute ago, is the only reason I am seeing that is that I'm just sitting on the cushion. And if I can then, when we listen to the next person and then just walk
yeah.
out,
yeah.
I don't need to think about the insight ever again.
Ever again. Ever
so that's again. The razor's edge. I can yeah. just see ego going, oh, I've got to remember that.
Yeah.
Not, we just need to do the next thing.
Yeah.
And it will continue to arise.
Yeah.
And we'll see it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll remember we won't.
Yeah. There's
and nothing's
the
a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless
yeah.
you're practicing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
So nothing's a problem yeah. unless.
Unless I'm listening to it.
Yeah.
And getting to know the you know, the language it uses, which is typically this isn't it. And okay. kind of a rolling of the eyes like, oh, you know, that's what it's really it, right?
Yeah.
And my ego is a big eye roller. Like,
So recognizing the clues,
you know,
the eye rolling, you know, this isn't it. That
yeah.
oh, okay, I know what that is.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah,
and it's not it.
And it's not it.
Yeah.
This is not it. You are not vibrant.
Yeah.
You might be a little smart today, but not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Sure.
Well, yesterday in the when we did the orientation. I knew that I wanted to warn people about the short recitation, the we are here to end suffering, because it so freaks people out.
You wanted to warn these new folks,
yes,
folks new to practice.
Yeah, because they're gonna, if they ever come back, they're going to hear it. And it's such a, Sylvie just jumps on that, I think, for everybody. Okay, well, you're suffering. It's your fault. And that's what it's saying. It's saying your suffering is your fault. Right? So I was really listening to it today when we recited it. And it's such, I love how straightforward it is.
Yes.
Okay? We're here to end suffering. If we want to end suffering, we will. If we don't, we won't. Now, we can take that personally
yeah.
and get all about it, or we can just take it as fact. You know, if you want to go north, walk north.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't walk north, you it's going to take you a long time to get to north. And so, if I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering, which to me is the whole conversation we've had this morning.
Yes.
Right? And especially what was just said, right? Because everything everybody said, okay, all right. Because that's that process of turning everything into choosing suffering. Because if I did what people are pointing at, if I would just stay in the moment that I'm in, without any conversation, that's choosing not to suffer.
Wow.
Yes. So if we don't fall for,
yeah,
but you have to suffer if you're the wrong person.
Uh-huh.
You
mm-hmm.
have to suffer if you're not doing the right thing, uh-huh. if you're not having the right, if we don't fall for that, if we really do accept that teaching mm-hmm. as valid,
mm-hmm.
then all we have to do is choose not to suffer under every circumstance.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. All we have to do is choose not to suffer under every circumstance.
Yeah.
Wow.
So our whole thing, especially lately, is unconditional love,
right?
It's choosing love, unconditional love.
So if I'm always doing that, then it's been pointed at. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing for ego to talk about in the head. Mm-hmm. Because whatever happens, I'm choosing unconditional love, mm-hmm. which is choosing not to suffer. Mm-hmm. So I'm low energy, I'm high energy, I'm vibrant, I'm not, I'm filled with awe, I'm not, I feel reverent, I don't. I choose unconditional love for everything, anything, everybody, all the time.
I'm so reminded of what I've heard you say, is that, you know, people say, it can't be that simple.
Right.
It can't be that simple. But, it is.
I suspect it is.
All we have is this moment, and in that moment we get to choose.
Yeah.
Do we choose unconditional love? And in that time, in that moment we've chosen unconditional love, we've ended suffering.
Yes, and choosing this moment is choosing unconditional love.
And choosing this
moment. It's not choosing a moment in which conditioned mind says, that is unconditional love.
Uh-huh. Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. Choosing this moment is choosing unconditional love. Yes. 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 And as you take it back to the short recitation, you know, that I love that we, if we take that recitation personally, we can get really in a twist.
Yes.
You know, and it's not personal. It's pointed to that process that you just outlined.
It's just the most straightforward, direct little piece of how-to that we could ever hope for.
Wow.
And the moment we leave to have any kind of discussion about what this moment is, or how I'm being, or how they're being, or what it means, or anything, that's the moment of not choosing unconditional love. And that whole thing of, well, you know, I'm doing this now because I'm getting ready to choose unconditional love. You know, I'm in a self-improvement program, and pretty soon, or I'm going to fix everybody around me, or I'm going to, whatever it is that needs to happen, and then I'll choose unconditional. And then unconditional love will be my experience. I won't even have to choose it. It'll just be what is. Mm-hmm. And to realize, well, it already is what is. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing that is.
Mm-hmm.
Then we do something else.
It's the only thing that is. Yes.
I mean, it's kind of a religious perspective, right? So if you accept the premise that this is a non-separate reality, and that therefore, whatever you want to, that which is, all that is, God, spirit, the universe, however you want to talk about that, is all that is. And if you're willing to then take that step, that what that is unconditional love.
How could any, yes.
It's so straightforward, isn't it?
Very straightforward. Yes.
Yeah.
How could there be anything other than unconditional love?
Yeah.
How could there be
anything? Whatever is going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything other than vibrancy? Anything? Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Great.
So I'm glad I came this morning.
We're glad to have you here this morning. Rob.
Well, a couple things. First is that it just dawned on me, I don't know, this morning sometime, that coming and staying at the monastery is like, it's like the ultimate, it's like the ultimate vacation. And it doesn't feel like it all the time, but like the range of experiences that you have and the range of emotions that I've gone through is like, I couldn't even explain them all. I couldn't even get my brain around them. It's just the whole range. It's just all over the place. It's really, that's what people go on vacation. Well, that's what I go on vacations for.
Uh-huh.
You know, I usually associate that with very pleasurable things. But that, but the truth is that this is better. You know, this is so much meatier. And so anyway, that's the first thing. And because I've been trying to practice thank you, and that's a way of saying, well, thank you. Thank you for my amazing vacation. And so the other thing I wanted to bring up was something I've been encouraged to bring up in group, and I really haven't wanted to, and here I am, I'm going to do it. So one of my tasks is to clean the showers. Okay, clean the bathrooms. There is tons of karma for me with cleaning showers, okay? And it just happens to be, in my family, we only had a shower, my job to clean it, always. You know, and now I have four of them, you know?
Somehow karma always finds us.
Yes, yeah,
you're on right. This vacation and it's cleaning four showers, yes.
Right. So I'm getting lots of chance, you know, and so there's been all these layers of like all these layers of conditioning that go with it. I mean, the first layer was there are the tools that I want, some tools, like I have a whole system, and then they're not here, and I don't have this, and I use this, and I'm like, are you crazy, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so then I get over that, and then I'm like, okay, it's written down, here are the instructions, I just follow the instructions, you know, stay, if I understand this correctly, it's like attention practice, like, these are the instructions, just follow the instructions, don't think about all the alternatives. So I did that, but there's still, like, well, okay, first time I followed the instructions, took me over 2 hours to clean the shower, okay? Now, there's no explicit timetable in there. But I can estimate, it's probably supposed to take like 15 minutes, okay? And I talked about that, I got guys with that, and it's like, yeah, it's probably supposed to take about 15 minutes. And so I've been working on that goal, I'm at 25 minutes now, I'm getting there. And the thing that's like I'm stuck on now is that, okay, I have to do this, so there are so many layers, you know. So I have to do this task, I don't want to do it. And if I'm going to do it, I want to do it the right way. No, I have to do it in 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I can't even clean it in 15 minutes. Like, what's the point? That's what's going through my head. And I'm like, so really I'm bringing it up because I'm like, how can I bring, you know, unconditional love to this thing? How can I come into a kind of enjoyment of this? How can I find a connection here? And I am, you know, I'm struggling. You know, the best I could do the last time I did it is like, I have a time limit, just stick to the time limit. That's like a conditioning process, you know? That's like attacking, like tick, 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 keep moving. I really like to get to the point, you know, so I had this great experience of wiping down the furniture, you know, that it became, you know, fun. And I'm struggling with how do I do this with this big, you know, karmic thing for me, mm-hmm. which is, and I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, so you're just, you know, that you're bringing it up in group, you wanted to, but you had this resistance, and so now you're doing it. And you had this experience with cleaning the furniture of being very pleasurable. And you're looking at how might that same process be carried over to this other area where there's a whole lot of karma and a whole lot of, you know, what I'm hearing you say this morning sounds like a bit of conversation going on with the showers. So just really looking at how, if it's not the content, how can the same process that I experienced with the outdoor furniture be brought to the showers.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm toying with this, like, the only place I've come to is like, so if everything is a process of thank you, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. if what St. Teresa of Avila said, the only prayer we ever need is thank you. Mm-hmm. It's a chance to say thank you. Thank you, shower. Thank you for helping us to stay clean. Thank you. They are beautiful. Showers are beautiful. That maybe that's it. And then, so there, in my mind, there's this conflict of, yeah, but I want to spend more time to clean it. That's just, you know, I want to get every little thing clean. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, maybe there's a chance for me to say thank you to Sangha. Sangha has decided this is how it's done for this time period. And it's like, thank you for making this decision for me. Here, I'm going to do my best to give you what you requested. That's as far as I've gotten. And, you know, I really don't, I guess, you know, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
But I just thought.
Yeah.
Well, I was encouraged to bring it up, so here I am.
Here you are, and you're in a state of inquiry about this.
Yeah.
You know, looking at it, and where you are right now is what is it like to do it in the process of thank you?
Right.
And so exploring that. And I would encourage you to keep bringing it up, bringing it to group. See what you're finding with this exploration.
And I will throw it there. And the other thing I was thinking of that I did forget to mention is, so if I'm in a process of thank you to the shower, mm-hmm. and I'm in a process of thank you to Sangha, then where am I in that? That would mean that I disappear, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just talking out loud here, you know? Uh-huh. That sounds like that's probably the way to go.
So something just really, that seems like a direction.
Right.
To look. That thank you is a thank you to Sangha, a thank you to the shower, and you see in that process that Rob disappears.
Yeah, the this is great to be here. It's been painful, but it's been great to be here to really start to experience, have the time to experience selfless service. Mm-hmm. What is selfless service? How's that work? Yeah. I mean, I've heard that probably my whole life, you know, like, oh, be involved in selfless service. But what does that mean, you know?
Exactly.
And it means that I disappear.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what it means. That's where it seems to be going. And it's very interesting. There obviously there are lots of chances to try that out here.
Like you said, it's the best vacation a person could ever, you know.
Right.
Yeah, to just see that, maybe for the first time, seeing what is selfless service.
I think certainly for me, I mean, it's at a whole nother level. It's like the first time ever.
Wow.
To realize that, when you're really involved in selfless service, I guess you really do disappear, you know, and your job is to give. So again, thank you for that chance to explore that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for bringing it to group, and we look forward to hearing more about the journey. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.